In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Back in the early 80s, I realized in my life that it was time to make a change. I had grown up in the city of Chicago, and we had moved to a small town north, and it was kind of boring after being in Chicago and going to Cubs games at 11 years old and riding the L downtown and, you know, going to Marshall Fields and buying candy and cookies and stuff. And this little tiny place I lived in was, it was a fine little place, but it was not very exciting. So I had the opportunity to move to Washington, D.C. My cousin was there. She had a large apartment and offered me a spare bedroom that she had, so I moved. About that time, I also realized that it was probably time to go back to church. I was a cradle Episcopalian, and I think I've told you some of my story about being part of an evangelical group and serving as an altar boy at the St. Albans where we attended church. And I would always go on Christmas and Easter, but was not a regular attender and certainly still a believer. So I decided that I would start attending church at the Washington National Cathedral, the Cathedral Church of St. Peter and St. Paul. We have a picture of the nave hanging in the office, in my office, actually. And so I decided to start going to the 8 o'clock service, which was low church, just kind of quiet, no music. So I became an 8 o'clocker, and I became part of that congregation. And over time, started going and attending the 7:30 Mass on Saturday morning. And I was befriended by the priest who served, a retired priest, Frederick Bohm, God rest his soul. And I became a verger. So I became the altar guild and the lector and the acolyte and the whole deal. But the wonderful thing about that was I used to go to the security office early in the morning and get the keys to the entire building. So here I had free rein to go. I'd go down to Bethlehem Chapel, I'd set up the altar and do all that sort of stuff. But I found myself getting there earlier and earlier, and over the course of the seasons or whatever, I'd sit in the middle of the crossing, huge in the middle of the crossing, and watch the sun come up through the rose windows. So it became a holy place for me. It became a place of respite, a place of prayer, a place where, you know, I truly believe God was. And even when the building was closed, there was a small chapel, Chapel of the Good Shepherd, that was outside, and you could go. It was open 24 hours a day, and sometimes I would wander over in the night or whatever and say prayers and that sort of thing. So the whole space became, you know, sacred space, if you will. I would take my kids, and we would wander around the building and the close and the gardens and that sort of thing, and I grew up there, and again, always was a special place when I was in Washington. I'd go back. A couple years ago, Stephanie and I decided to take a trip to D.C., so we went, enjoyed the sights, the museums, and that sort of thing, decided we'd take a ride over to the cathedral, my old stomping grounds. So we found that things had changed immensely. They had put in a new parking garage underground, and changed some of the grounds. So we park in the underground, whole thing, that sort of thing, go to the front doors, and we go to walk in, and we're standing there marveling at the beautiful building and that sort of thing. And we go to walk down the middle of the nave, and the docents stopped us, and they said, there is an entrance fee. And I said, there's an entrance fee to go to church? I was incredulous. I said, I worshipped here once upon a time and served here as a volunteer. I knew John Krause, the main verger. I knew, you know, this one, that one, tried to name drop, trying to do that. You know, and they were adamant. They wanted us to put money in the box. And we turned, and I was polite, and I said, well, thank you very much. And it was nice being here. We left. Never returned, never will. And that was kind of a very sad thing. I understand, you know, you got to keep the buildings and grounds up, and you got to, you know, fix stuff. We have lots of buildings and lots of grounds and lots of stuff that needs to be fixed up. I truly get that. But the church is the house of God. It's a place of worship. It's a place where you should be able to go and to pray. So on a small, tiny, minuscule level, I can begin to maybe sort of almost connect with what Jesus must have felt when he walked into the temple And he saw all the money changers and the people selling the oxen and the pigeons and all those things for the sacrifice. And again, the money changers so that people could bring their coins from different parts of the region and trade them in for certain things. And the righteous indignation that he must have felt, and surely felt, the anger at seeing a place of worship where God dwelled being desecrated by the trade that was going on there. And the story is powerful in and of itself. He makes a whip of cords, and he chases all the oxen and the pigeons and everybody out. It had to be just an amazing sight to see, if you think about it. I read in one commentary, it's probably easier to herd cats than it is to chase oxen and pigeons away. It just had to be an amazing menagerie running out the door. And of course, you know, everybody goes. And he does that as a witness. He does that as a witness to say that this is my Father's house. This is a place of worship. And so he's confronted by the temple authorities, of course, are nonetheless not happy, to say the least. Not only did he disrupt the exchange of coins and the trade of the oxen and pigeon and those things for sacrifice, but the leaders of the temple, the chief priests, would have gotten, if you will, a fee for all of those vendors being there. So that was taken away from them, too. So they were none too happy about that. So they confront him, and they say, you know, on what authority do you do this? And he says, you know, this is my Father's house. It's a house of prayer. It's not a place for trade. It's not a place for this to be going on. This is where the Lord dwells. And then he turns the tables on them, and he says, you know, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, you have to understand that the temple was a very, very holy place for the people of Israel, for the Jews. They truly believed in that holy of holies. There were different courts in the temple, that God truly did dwell there, that God was in that place. And so for Jesus to say, destroy the place where God resides, just absolutely infuriated them. And they didn't understand what he was saying, nor did the disciples at the time that he was saying it either. What he was talking about, of course, was not the building itself, but was the temple of his body. The temple of his body that would be sacrificed on the cross and on the third day be raised. The temple of his body that was sacred and holy, in which we find our redemption, our hope, and our resurrection. I'm reminded of the phrase that St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, you know, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Glorify God in your bodies. Now, if all of this was gone tomorrow, the church, the parish hall, the day school, the whole thing, if we came back next Sunday and all of it was gone, would it make a difference? No, it would not. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We could worship in Charlie's backyard or in Donna and Jose's, you know, backyard. It wouldn't matter. We're the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells here when we gather in community for prayer and for worship. And not only that, but God is present. God is present in the tabernacle, in the sacrament. God is present in this place. So if all this was gone tomorrow, it would make not one twit difference, because we still would be the body of Christ, witnessing to his love and grace and mercy in the world. And even when we're not gathered together as the body of Christ, as we do on Sundays, or we do on special occasions, or on Wednesday morning, each one of us is the temple of the Holy Spirit, wherein God dwells. So even when we're dispersed from this place, God still dwells within us. We were bought with a price. We are called to glorify God in our bodies and in our lives. That's the message in this, the third Sunday of Lent, that the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed his body that we might have the Holy Spirit dwell within us. May we, as we go forward in our Lenten pilgrimage, remember that. It's not about buildings, bricks, mortars, grounds, about that. It's about the Holy Spirit calling us to witness to the love of Christ into the world. It's about the Holy Spirit sending us out as servants of that witness to glorify Christ in the broken and sinful world in which we live. You were bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. And remember that you are all, we are all, temples of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.